I just want to take one moment to stare down the barrel of the camera and say, Happy Mother's Day, Mum. Love you long time. She'll be watching in New Zealand. And to all the mums out there as well. And welcome to those who are watching online today. Years ago, I'm not allowed to do it anymore, but back years ago when our kids were little and they didn't even know that Facebook existed, I used to write or post their funny things that they used to say, of which there were many. And now, because of Facebook memories, I get all of these reminders every year of all the things that they said when they were little. And there was one that I stumbled across the other day from 10 years ago of our little Miss Four at the time, talking about Mother's Day. And she said, Mother's Day is a very special day when, Mummy, you get to love us and look after us and do everything for us. And I said, really? How would that be different from any other day? And she said, well, we'll buy you a present, but only if you give us some money 4 or 5 days beforehand. And I said, right, so you get me a present with my money and I do everything for you all day like normal. And she goes, yep, that's it. Ah, how things do not change. Gorgeous kids, we love them to bits. I know that today brings up a whole lot of stuff for a whole lot of people, but As I was praying and as I was preparing for today's message and just talking it through with the Lord, I actually felt like He gave me a message specifically for mums. And so I am going to preach specifically to mums today. And you might think to yourself, well, okay, this is not going to be relevant to me. I can assure you there will be biblical insights for everybody in the room, but I would actually prefer that you come to this message with a heart that desires to support and encourage the mums in your world, whether you are one or not. The reason being that we are embarking on the greatest and most important mission in the world. The Lord might call us to do many things in life, but as a mum, there is no greater or more important mission than the discipleship of our kids. And so He has a word for mums today, and I would love for us as a community to engage with what He wants to say to support and encourage the mums in our world. So we're going to have a look at a story in Scripture. It comes from 2 Kings and chapter 4. And starting from verse 1, it says this. The wife of a man from the company of prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves." Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" "Your servant has nothing here there at all," she said, "except a small jar of olive oil." Elisha said, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side." And so she left him and shut the door behind her and her sons, and they brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." But he replied, "There is not a jar left." And then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left." Now, what we have here is this woman, this widow, and she finds herself in a situation where she can't affect her own circumstances. In the culture, in the day, there was no way for her to gain any income. And her husband, who had been part of the company of prophets, had died, but he'd left her with debt. And so by law, as part of the culture at the time, her sons could be taken into slavery until her debt was paid off through them. But this woman, this widow, she comes, she brazenly stands before Elisha and she says, "I need you to help me." The beginning of this conversation doesn't start with any pleasantries. She just starts with, "Your servant, my husband, is dead." She comes in with this bold statement. She's saying to him, "I need you to help me." And what we see immediately is this woman, this mum, who comes in this situation, she sees what could happen to her sons, and effectively what she's saying is, "Not on my watch. Not on my watch. I'm not going to allow my boys to be taken into slavery. I'm not going to allow them to be taken into captivity. I'm going to do whatever I can to stand in the gap for them. And so she comes and brazenly speaks to this man of God, this prophet Elisha, and she says, this is your responsibility. I love just the attitude of this woman and how just profoundly bold she was in standing in the gap. Now, I think about what we face in our culture today, and we're certainly not dealing with our kids being taken into literal slavery, but I can promise you that as a mum, you think often and deeply about the prospect of your kids ending up in spiritual captivity. You think often and deeply about the prospect of your kids ending up in spiritual slavery. Because of the culture and the way that things are going and the confusion and the lies and all of this stuff that has been sent against family, sent against our kids, in the pit of your stomach, in the place you don't talk about very often, I know that it exists within you as a mother, this cry from your heart that says, please, Lord, not on my watch. And so as we look at this story today, I want for us to look at Elisha's response and also then how this woman responds and what she does to see the power of God save her kids. Because I believe that we can learn from this story. The first thing that happens here is that as she comes to Elisha, his first response to her is, how can I help you? That's the first thing he says. She comes and she cries out to him. He doesn't respond by saying, well, hang on, this is not my problem. It was your husband that got you into debt. No, his first response was, how can I help you? I want to say to you today, mums, regardless of the age of your kids, whether they are small, whether they are teenagers, whether they are gone from home and even potentially have kids of their own, I want to say this to you. God wants to help. Elisha says, how can I help you? His straight away, his response as a man of God is, he wants to help. He wants to help. And so often for us as moms, we can get ourselves in this situation where we think, you know, there's pain, there's difficulty, there's challenge. I've prayed. I don't feel like there was an answer to my prayers. And so we get to this point of saying, I'm not going to ask for help anymore. Maybe the Lord is looking at me. Maybe he's judging me. Maybe he's judging our kids. And we get ourselves all up in all of this entanglement. And we forget that God is good. And that he desires the best for our kids. It's his will that they would succeed. It's his will that they would be safe. It's his will that they would stay out of captivity. He wants to help. And so it's up to us to come to him and to ask. Elisha then asks, what do you have already? I love this second question. First, how can I help you? Secondly, what do you have already? What is it that you have already? So he looks at what she already possesses. This is one of those things that it repeats all the way through Scripture. The Lord loves to find out what people already have, even if they think it's measly. You remember that moment in Exodus chapter 4 where Moses is standing in front of the burning bush and the Lord speaks to him and says, I want you to go and deliver Israel out of captivity in Egypt. And Moses is standing there, he's like, oh, hello, I'm 80. You know, I had a dream 40 years ago, but then I murdered somebody. I had to escape from Egypt and my dream died. I've got a stammer. I'm out here being a shepherd. Sheep that aren't even my own. And you're saying to me that you want me to be this grand deliverer? How can I do that? The Lord says to him, what's in your hand? What's in your hand? And in his hand was a shepherd's crook, just a shepherd's staff. All it spoke of was his humility, his station in life, which was lowly and pathetic. But the Lord goes, that thing that's measly, I'm going to take that. And I'm going to put my power on it. And that staff is going to be used to do powerful miracles because I am with you. He loves to ask us, what's in your hand? What's the thing that you have? I think about Just before the story with Elisha, Elijah was the previous prophet. And Elijah comes to this widow in a place called Zarephath, and he says to her, "Can you feed me?" She goes, "I've only got a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil." He goes, "Great, cook me up a meal." And she does. And then the following morning, she wakes up and there's just the same amount of flour and oil for the next day, and then the next day, and the next day, and the next day, right until the end of the drought. Elijah was saying to her, "What's in your hand? What's the small amount that you've got? Give that. And then God will miraculously supply. He will build on that small thing that you offer to the Lord." We jump forward to Jesus in the Gospels. We read this story where he was preaching to this multitude of people. And they were loving it so much, they just hung around all day. The disciples come to him and they go, "These people are hungry, we can't feed them." Jesus goes, "Well, what have you got?" "Well, we've got this kid here, he's got his lunch. He's got 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's what we've got." Jesus goes, "Great, I'll use that." And then he multiplies it and feeds all of the people, and there's leftovers. The Lord loves to say to us, "What have you got? What do you already have?" Now, this woman had this small jar of oil, and so what Elisha was saying was, the Lord can take that small amount and he can use it and multiply it and do something powerful with it. What we tend to do as mums, and here's a little secret for anyone who's not a mum. Somewhere in our soul, we like to focus on all the things we lack. All of the ways that we don't measure up. All of the things that we get wrong. We focus on that. We very rarely focus on what we do have. The things that he's already placed in our heart, the things that we can offer. We just give that, but then we focus our attention on all of the areas we lack. You know, I was having a conversation with a friend a number of years ago, and it was one of those moments where the Holy Spirit kind of came along and just slapped me. I love it when the Holy Spirit gives me a slap. It's always good. We're having this conversation. She was telling me about an argument she was having with her daughter that morning. And as they were chatting and having words backwards and forwards, her daughter said to her, "You're a terrible mum." And I went, "Ooh. How did you respond to that?" And she goes, I laughed and I said, "No, I'm not. I'm a great mum. You're really lucky to have me." And as she said that, it was like Holy Spirit kind of poked me and said, "You need to recognize that too." It occurred to me that for years I had been telling myself, just this self-talk daily, telling myself I was a terrible mum. And it was like the Lord said to me, "I don't want you to talk that. I want you to speak that over yourself. You're a good mum. That's who you are. Occasionally, you do bad things. Occasionally, you make mistakes. But who you are is you are a good mum. You sow into your kids. You love your kids." My whole attitude changed that day. And I started to proclaim it. And I'll tell you here today, I'm a really good mum. My kids are blessed to have me. They really are. And not just because of what I do, but what I carry in my heart for them. Yeah, you're going to make mistakes. Yeah, you're going to do things that are not great. But I want to say to you today, if you're somebody who keeps focusing on the lack, stop it. Stop it. That was very mummish of me, wasn't it? It's your mother telling you. Stop focusing on the lack. Elisha said to this woman, "What do you have?" And then she was able to offer that so the Lord could bless it and multiply it and use it to save her kids. Next thing, Elisha didn't focus on resource, he focused on capacity. I love this. She says, "I've just got a little jar of oil." That's what she was looking at. And he goes, "Yeah, there's oil there, but it's a jar. Now, I wonder if we could get some more jars," right? So he's immediately focused on how she can increase her capacity. He's not worried initially about the resource increasing. He's worried about the capacity increasing so that there is room for the resource to increase, right? Now, in Scripture, oil is spoken about so often. Olive oil is spoken about so often. And it's symbolic for a whole host of different things. It's used as fuel for fire. It's used for consecration and anointing. It was used like currency. You could trade it for goods. And so, therefore, it's a symbol of prosperity and blessing. It symbolizes richness, fruitfulness, abundance, and vitality. And it's also a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And so this oil, this small amount of oil that she had there, had the potential to be symbolic of all of these things. But Elisha says to her, I want you to increase your capacity so that all of those things have a place to live, a place to dwell. So he's saying to her here, go out of your way to increase the capacity. Now, in regard to us as mums and how we're dealing with our kids, how we're pouring into our kids, that means, you know, how do we increase our capacity in that way? That means increasing the profile of these kids, placing them as a priority in our heart. It means increasing our prayer life. It means praying over them constantly, remembering them constantly, pouring into them constantly, but then also thinking about other ways that we can increase our capacity for that oil of anointing of the Holy Spirit to be poured into their lives. It means coming to the village around you. This woman went to her neighbors, right, and she got their jars. Going to the village around you, the people around you, your friends and your family, and saying, hey, can you be somebody who will be a capacity bearer for my kids? Somebody who will carry oil for them? So that when I have moments or times when we're separated for whatever reason, that when they come to you, they're going to find the oil of the presence of God. When they come to you, they're going to find the anointing of the Lord. When they come to you, they're going to find the Holy Spirit in the way that you speak to them. Would you be a person who prays for them? Who cries out to God for them as well as me? I want to increase the capacity of the flow of oil into their lives. Would you be a part of that village as well, intentionally? When you're praying for them and you get a word for them, or there's a verse or scripture that sort of pops out, the Lord highlights to you for them, would you send that through to them? Would you tell them about what God is doing? Increase your capacity, because then the oil has somewhere to flow. Do you know, you choose the limit on what God can do. You choose the limit on what God can do. Some of us just simply need to increase our faith and ask. Luke chapter 6, verse 38 says this, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So give, and give some more. Because as you're doing this and you're pouring yourself into your kids and pouring your prayer life and your heart for them, crying out to the Lord on their behalf, then He is responding in kind with His power. Elisha then told her to shut the door and get on with filling. Shut the door and get on with filling. You know, when I think about this image, it actually reminds me of Jesus saying, go into your prayer closet, close the door, and your Father will hear you in secret. That's the kind of image that I get when I think about this woman going in there with her sons and closing the door and starting to pour. You know, we get to intercede in private on behalf of our kids. We get to stand before the Lord and cry out on their behalf. Sometimes we don't know what to say. Sometimes we can be in such a moment of turmoil and heartache. It can be so difficult. We don't even know how to pray or what to pray. Can I encourage you, if you've got a prayer language, get an image of your child in your mind and speak that prayer language over them in the quiet place, in the secret place. Increase your prayers. Increase your faith. Cry out on their behalf and do it often as you possibly can. It says in James 5:16, the prayers of the righteous are powerful and effective. I love that. The prayers of the righteous are powerful and effective. And so therefore, I want to get in there and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to hold you to that. I'm going to pray on their behalf. I want to see miraculous things happen. There is a period of time and in the life of a child who has come, who has grown up in a family of faith, where that faith then needs to become their own. What is that going to look like? How are they going to experience God? How are they going to find and understand who He is and see Him as real and not just live off the faith of their parents? We need to be praying into that, sowing into that in the secret place, in that private place. And then the other thing that we need to do, this woman took the kids in there with her. The other thing we need to do is open up the opportunities to have these kind of conversations with our kids, to bring them into our faith conversations. Yeah, we have our private prayer times. We have our times when we're meeting with God. We're talking with God about all of these things, but allowing them to see that, to understand that, to hear that, to experience that. What an amazing opportunity we have to do that, to bring them into those conversations. I was having a conversation with our daughter a couple of weeks ago, and I made some comment. She said to me, "Oh, she's so judgy." And I went, "Oh, where'd that come from? Because I actually don't think I am." And it occurred to me that she was seeing and hearing one side of my heart on an issue and not the other. And so I had the opportunity then to sit down and say to her, "You need to understand, darling, that when it comes to this particular issue, I get really passionate about it on a macro level because I'm really concerned about people and the way they're being harmed. It comes from a place of love and compassion for people, and that's why I'm fired up about the issue." But it's not until I actually was able to explain that to her that she understood that. That's bringing her into a place of faith. It's letting her see and understand what God is speaking to me about. What about those times when the Lord highlights a scripture to you or tells you something or gives you a nudge about something and you think to yourself, "Oh, that was really cool. God just interacted with me." Why don't you share that with your kids? Tell them about that. Let them see that. Let them be a part of that. This woman took the boys in with her and they got to see the miracle. Can you imagine what that would have been like for them? She just starts pouring, doing what she was meant to do, and they get to see it, and they get to experience it. And you could just imagine these boys. "Oh, Mom, the jar's full. Hang on, here's another one, here's another one. Oh my goodness, it's getting full. This one's getting full too. Oh my goodness, when's it going to end? When do you think it'll end? Oh my goodness, Mom, watch." The kids get to be a part of it, they get to experience it, and their faith is being built while she is doing the pouring. It's such a glorious image for us. We get this opportunity to bring them into the moment. Shut the door. Get on with filling. Bring your kids in there with you. So as we finish, I just wanted to look at a couple of lessons for us as mums. And the first one is this: be a lioness. Be a lioness. The Lord has created you to be a warrior. You may not feel like it. You may feel weak. You might feel inept. But He has called you, Mum, to be a warrior in the spirit. He's called you to be a lioness. Now, if I'm honest with you, like my husband, Lucas loves our kids just as much as I do, and I place a lot of their protection in his hands, but that does not absolve me of the responsibility. He calls me to be a lioness. And a lioness says, "You will not take my kids." I'm telling you today, church, they will not be taken into captivity, not on my watch. My kids will not be taken into slavery. Not on my watch. Be a lioness. Make a line in the sand and say, "I will stand here and protect them with everything I have." We have an enemy that is out to kill and destroy. And he has his eye on our kids. He has his eye on the next generation. And he is out for blood. We as mums are called and responsible to stand in the way and say, "No, no." be a lioness. This woman, she came to Elisha and she went, help me. You have to do this. It's your responsibility. And what I love is that when you jump into the New Testament and you hear Jesus talking all of these parables, he commends women in these parables for standing up and persevering in prayer and saying no and not taking no for an answer. He talks about that as being something that we should attain and we should aspire to. Be a lioness. For as long as it takes. Second thing is this, follow God's lead. This woman, she did exactly as Elisha said. She goes to him, she asks him if he will help, and then he gives her instructions. And the way that it's written is exactly the same. I want you to do this. And so she went and did this. Go and ask your neighbors for jars. So she went and did that. Then begin pouring. And so she did that. And everything that he said, she just copied it and she obeyed to the letter. Follow God's lead. He has insights about your kids that you could never have on your own. If we can attune our ear to listen to him and to say, would you show me, would you prompt me, would you give me ways to move forward with my kids that I wouldn't see on my own, then we attune our ear to him and then follow that. We've got the opportunity for miracles to happen on a daily basis. If you can imagine yourself for a moment just being in one of those times and you feel like, oh, I'm just stretched. I don't have time for this. I don't have time for that. I certainly don't have time for any interruptions. But somewhere in the middle of that, you feel a prompt of the Spirit. Stop what you're doing. Go into the next room and talk to your kids about this. Those are the kind of things that we're looking for. Those are the kind of things that we want to do. Because it's the Holy Spirit speaking to us in the midst of a situation, cutting across the noise of what's happening now and saying, follow my lead. You know, obedience is a gift because we get to obey a God who sees what we do not see. And then he leads us in paths we would never go ourselves. Supernatural wisdom. It's a wonderful thing. Follow God's lead. Do what he says, be obedient to his prompts regarding your kids. And then the third thing is this, don't stop pouring. I know that for so many of us, we are tired and weary, and we feel like, yeah, I couldn't stop pouring even if you told me to, because that's what I do with my life. I pour, and then I pour, and I pour some more. And you might find yourself in that place at the moment where you feel like it's running out. You feel like you have not that much more left to give. I want to say to you today, the Lord honors you. He is so proud of you. Somebody just thought, what would you know when I said that? I know the heart of God. And I know that he is for you. And regardless of what you have done or how you feel about yourself, he is proud of you for the effort you put in. And he is proud of you for what you hold in your heart for your kids. So, mums, don't stop pouring. Keep going. Keep going. You can do it. You can. And as you pour, he will replenish. As you pour, he will give. As you pour, he will restore. Just keep pouring, keep going, keep fighting, keep holding on, and let him meet you in that. What I love about this story is that not only were this woman's sons saved because of their mum, but her faith was restored in the process as well. How glorious is that? We're going to finish the service a little bit differently. There's going to be an opportunity at the end for anyone to come forward for prayer. And there might be situations in your family and in your life where you need breakthrough prayer. You need someone to anoint you with oil, to ask for breakthrough in certain situations. Some of us are dealing with some really difficult family stuff. And this will have raised some of those issues. And so after the service, there's going to be a time, and I'm going to encourage you to come forward and have someone pray for you. Some people are dealing with infertility, and you need someone just to pray healing prayers over you. And so there's going to be that opportunity at the end of the service as well. But right now, what I would love to do is I would love to invite all of the mums in the room to stand, because we're going to pray a recommissioning over you. So how about all of the mums in the room stand, and anyone who's watching online as well, you stand because you can be a part of this prayer too. Okay, look around, church. Now that you can see where they all are, I would love for you to get up out of your seat and go and lay hands, hover hands, if that's more appropriate, over each of these women who are standing in the room right now. So let's do that as a church. We're all going to join our faith together. Stand up. Join our faith together. Lay your hands on one of those women who was standing around you. We're going to join our faith together, and we're going to pray a blessing and a recommissioning over them. Lord, I want to thank you so much for mums. I thank you for family. And I thank you that this was your plan for us, that there would be that nurturing feminine heart in the midst of a family that would hold things together and hold things in tension. You designed it this way, Lord. And I want to thank you so much for the mums in our church. I thank you for the mums who are represented here today, and the mission that you have given them. And Lord, I want to pray right now that by your Holy Spirit, you would fill them afresh. That you would give them new passion, that you would give them new vision. Lord, that you would ignite within them a fresh sense of your anointing and your purpose. I pray, Lord, that as they continue on this journey of motherhood, from the youngest of children right through to children who are adults, I pray, Lord, that you would burn within them a heart that is just like yours for these kids of theirs. Lord, that you would grow up a passion within them that is so deep and so powerful. And Lord, that you would give them by your Holy Spirit everything that is required to do what you have called them to. I pray for your words to be over them. I pray for your voice to be heard by them. I pray, Lord, that you would help them increase their prayer life. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to them about their kids. I pray, Lord, that you would give them courage and conviction to speak truth and to speak grace into the lives of their kids. And Lord, right now, as we join our faith together as your people, we recommission them to the task that you've called them to. I ask for your blessing upon them. I ask for your grace and your mercy upon them. I ask, Lord, for your forgiveness on those who need forgiveness. Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, come, fill them up to overflowing. You know, there's a verse in Psalm 126, and it says this: those who sow in tears will reap with shouts of joy. And I declare that over the mums here today. I declare that over every mum who is listening today, that those who sow in tears will reap with shouts of joy. We listen to that, Lord. We believe that. We have that as a declaration over our lives. Lord, that by your Holy Spirit, you would bring to pass the things that we sow in tears, the prayers that we sow in tears, Lord, that we would see your power at work, and you would allow us to shout for joy as those things come to pass. We take that, we hold on to that as a promise and a declaration over our lives, and we pray that you would have your way and you would do it. We say yes and amen. So be it. That joy of knowing the Lord has answered would be our joy in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for them. Amen.